Dateline, September 1991. Draw, Konami! I don't know if coincidences are real, or if everything we encounter is a deliberate arrangement of events for the benefit of an unseen force, but one funny thing I thought of recently is how closely the rise of video games matched the fall of westerns. Cowboys were a staple of film and television in the United States for decades, lasting well into the 1980s, but just as video games grew in popularity, the romanticized image of the Old West held less appeal. I use the adjective funny because, as we've established here on Retronauts, cowboys and all their cliches are perfect fodder for video games. They always carry guns, wear giant hats, no need to animate hair, spend a lot of time in flat, empty spaces, and solve most problems with violence. If the desert was as black as outer space, Space Invaders might very well have been cowboys versus aliens instead. And what is Moon Patrol but a lunar wagon jaunt with laser guns? Furthermore, despite the Wild West being a specific set of tropes based on a vision of America's past, all those movies and hours of television we created spread across the earth to other nations, making the cowboy a global ambassador for our culture. Some of the greatest westerns were made in other countries by actors and filmmakers who spoke little to no English, and that's not even including all the stories which were derived from westerns but recast in local historical settings. Akira Kurosawa did not hide his love of American films, and when he wasn't adapting Shakespeare or Russian memoirs, his samurai behaved like cowboys with swords instead of six-shooters, though at least one film had both. Kurosawa's work, of course, in turn inspired American filmmakers like George Lucas, who has left an impression on pop culture that can never truly be measured. I'm laying all this out here because I hope you, dear reader, might comprehend how surprised I was to see Sunset Riders in arcades 30 years ago. Beat-em-ups were everywhere, and shoot-em-ups were just as well known, but here was a game that had all the personality of the former, armed with the firepower of the latter. Sunset Riders is bright, loud, and colorful, eye-grabbing in all the ways that westerns were not to kids my age. That's because the wizards at Konami embraced their idea of how the West was fun in ways no movie or TV show ever did. While arcade cabinets varied in size and equipment, under ideal conditions, Sunset Riders is a four-player game where a quartet of cowpokes blast their way through hundreds of varmints en route to toppling a criminal organization, making themselves a pretty penny in the process. The four bounty hunters are all men, but all look very different, with distinct outfits in loud colors. In that sense, they have a lot less in common than the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles did when they cleaned up the crime-ridden streets of New York wearing nothing but bandanas and their shells. From a gameplay standpoint, however, these characters fit neatly into two squads, Team Handgun and Team Shotgun. Steve and Billy wield smaller weapons, while Bob and Cormano start with heavier hardware. All players can gain dual gun and rapid fire upgrades, so if everyone plays well, there'll soon be four men filling the screens with righteous pink bullets. There are no health bars or armor in Sunset Riders, though, so taking any damage costs one life and forfeits all power-ups at once. At least there's never any need to count your shots, as every gun in the game includes unlimited ammo. Sunset Riders is a side-scrolling game that urges players to keep moving forward no matter the odds. Action is limited to a single 2D plane, but many levels have banisters, bridges, or fences that can be scaled in a single vertical leap. Think Shinobi or Rolling Thunder. There are also auto-scrolling chase scenes where all the cowboys ride on horses, and bonus stages offer a first-person shooting gallery for extra cash slash bragging rights. While purely a cooperative game, there is no friendly fire, making it in everyone's best interest to always be cap shooting. Sunset Riders does include small, subtle incentives to make players compete with one another. The aforementioned bonus stages are one such example, as the hit counts are tracked per individual, with rewards doled out proportionately to the players who shoot the most pop-up bad guys. Boss battles are even more cutthroat, as the game displays how much damage each player dealt to the enemy, and only the top hunter gets to receive the bounty. If Sunset Riders carries any baggage, it is due to its unfortunate perpetuation of stereotypes from the Western genre. All four heroes and most of the heavies are men, with women relegated to background damsels waiting to reward players for their deeds. One stage takes place entirely in a brothel? Cabaret, maybe? Whatever it is, once the two bomb-throwing baddies inside are slain, ladies strut onto the stage and dance for the boys, much to their hootin' delight. Native Americans fare worse, as an entire level takes place in their territory, leading to an army of braves charging at the heroes to be gunned down. Two of the game's bosses are also natives, named Dark Horse and Chief Scalpum, and their dialogue is delivered in cliched broken English. At least the latter is spared execution thanks to his sister running on screen at the end of the fight to beg for his life. The heroes always agree by saying, "Alright, we won't shoot him," even though they had just finished shooting him many, many times. With bullets. Sunset Riders was an arcade smash, and being a 1991 release, it came home to 16-bit consoles at just the right time. While both the Super Nintendo and Genesis versions strongly resemble the original game, each port has its ups and downs. None of the home editions support four players, limiting the action to two players at the maximum. The Super Nintendo cartridge is the most faithful overall, but thanks to Nintendo of America's aggressive content standards, all the women in the game are redrawn to sport more conservative outfits. Also, all the cannon fodder indigenous enemies are removed, and the chief is renamed Wigwam. Much of the original arcade content is cut in order to fit onto Sega's console, leaving the game with fewer stages and bosses. Two of the heroes are also removed, leaving only Billy and Cormano. The horseback stages are cut, but those assets are repurposed into new bonus stages where the players catch items tossed from the back of a wagon. In general, the game features more collectibles, as enemies and slain heroes drop lots of coins and other pickups. Somehow, despite cutting so much from the arcade original, the Native American enemies are still present, and the chief is still called Scalpum. The good news is that today, no one has to settle for an expurgated cowboy experience, as Sunset Riders is available for modern consoles via Hamster's Arcade Archive series. This version supports four-player simultaneous co-op and includes unlimited credits, so even an arcade novice can grind their way to the end. I don't think Sunset Riders occupies people's memories quite the way other games of its era did. Konami's TMNT, The Simpsons, and next year's X-Men all seem to foster more nostalgia. But considering how little we thought about Westerns in 1991, it's fantastic fun for four friends. Yeehaw! Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at FEITCLUB. Good night!
Marry me with my money.